Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Photography ever?
Ever, dude.
But I mean, yeah, well, fuck it. It's hard. It feels so grimy, though, dude.
Oh, dude, it feels like you're watching something you shouldn't be, dude.
Oh, dude. It's been, you know, anytime I watch a horror movie, like, my whole thing is I want to find that movie where it makes me feel like I'm seeing something like I'm not supposed to.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
The fucking, the first Omen, the fucking stupid social media ads. This movie fucks harder than it should. That's it has, like, the movie trailer voice guy, like, quoting, like, it's not even critic pull quotes. It's like Twitter fucking people, and it says this movie fucks harder than it should.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad little excerpts.
You know what else you shouldn't be watching?
The Who Goes There
Podcast. The Who Goes There Podcast, episode 412. This is Jorge.
This is Ree.
This is Odesu. Odesu. How's it been?
How's it been?
How you been?
How'd you been?
How'd you sleep?
Why you been?
Not that good. Just in general.
No?
Yeah. I'm always kind of a light sleeper.
What? That's because you never get those delta waves, dude. You never get into that restful state, man, you know?
Mm. Now, how about on the weekends?
Yeah. On the weekends, you still light sleep.
Yeah, I'm always up hella early anyways.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
How much sleep? What's the latest you can sleep? Not latest, but like 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours?
I mean, yeah, so Ronnie and I generally like hit the sack around like 10:30, 11, somewhere in there. It's pretty early.
Yeah.
But I'm up on the weekdays about 6:30.
But what about the weekend?
The kids let me sleep until about 7:30, 8, somewhere in there.
So the most you get is like, you can get like 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah, I could get 8 if I don't have to wake up and piss like 2 times.
Yeah.
It's fucking getting old, man.
That shit sucks. Like, I'll have to wake up. Like, excuse me. Like, I don't want to fucking piss. I'll have to piss for 3 hours and be like, no. Uncomfortable in bed, so I don't have to get out of bed. It sucks, Jacob.
You should just get up and go piss.
It's a fucking, like, it's a bad cliche, but yeah.
When you hit it's 40, it's better when I don't drink.
Yeah.
Like, it's way better.
Yeah.
But when I'm drinking, dude, like, a night that I'm drinking, it's like, well, I guess I'm going to fucking wake up 6 times to get, it's bad, dude.
Well, and I don't even, well, I drink the bang. But, like, you remember that meme you sent a couple years ago where it's like one of those fucking shit posts, and it was about, like, a dude pissing on his balls? Like, I'm so angry. You made me piss on my balls.
I don't remember this at all.
It was dope. And now the thing is, I didn't even get, like, the full brunt of the joke because I have actually pissed on my balls.
Yeah.
Like, I put my shit away, and I'm pissing all over my balls. Does that happen?
No.
It's probably my prostate and all that shit. Because, I mean, I don't know, man. I had it checked. Everything, they say it's good, but it's fucked up. like probably 60 to 70% of the time, I'm shaking the thing out. I'm doing the thing. I get, like, toilet paper, fucking get my urethra stretched out. I put it in there. It's like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah. I got
do you?
That too. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
You gotta get those pants. Sorry, it's.
I gotta fucking get a diaper.
No, there's the.
For sleeping?
<There's>
Just to let it go. Just to let it go.
A stupid skit. I mean, I love this show. I think you should leave. I know
that's
I didn't.
That's a great show.
There's a bit called Calico Pants, and it's like this pants with like already pre made piss stain. Fucking.
I still know him, but I used to hang out with this dude in a wheelchair. He has. Clearly, he can't walk. But
he could a lazy piece of shit,
fucking idiot. But like the he used to tell us how he had like the it's not like a regular catheter where it like goes up your urethra, but it's like a condom catheter.
Yeah.
He's like, the cool thing is like I don't have to get up to go piss at night. And I'm like, that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. That's the silver lining.
Right.
That's called cognitive reframing. He has really found like the positive in an unfortunate situation. He prefers it now.
Well, I mean, it's the only way he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I need.
Yeah.
A condom catheter. To just let it loose in bed.
That's dope.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, what was the outcome of the thing with Micah's robot jocks competition?
They were squarely in the middle of the pack. So they got completely cucked by these.
Don't Russians. Talk about children getting cucked. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just kidding. They basically got fucking they got annihilated by these kids who clearly their parents built their fucking robots for them.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. It was like super obvious.
That's like vigilante time shit.
There was
you could get killed by some fucking robots now.
Do you go full upset dad? Like, fuck this shit.
I was upset, but yeah, I was not letting myself get like wound up because the kids did a really good job on their robot and they were fucking fantastic for their first time out.
It's the how, not the what.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. So they'll try again this next year when competition starts up again. But
oh yeah,
so yeah, it was good.
Well, and also like you fucking if the parents were that fucking desperate that they needed to do this shit for their kids, the kid's not getting any of the actual empowerment. It's all fucking like it's all fake juice, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're just gonna be seeking validation the rest of their life.
You could tell because the competitions are cool. They're not actually like necessarily competing against each other. They work with another team to cooperatively do goals, and then that score is aggregated against other teams. So like
it's a collaborative
effort. It's none of it's super like directly competitive.
They're not like fucking boxers or like
or
rappers. Like, they're not like antagonistic. It's not a solo endeavor.
No,
that would be dope. They just shit they trash talk each other
and destroy the robot.
That would be fucking dope.
I saw those your engineering kits. That shit was fucking cool.
Yeah, man.
Last week.
That's what we got going on in this house. It's a lot of engineering and a lot of STEM stuff in this house.
That's cool.
Fuck history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The accountant is currently number one on Netflix.
No shot.
Yeah.
Oh,
Netflix is fucking dumb, dude. Oh yeah, the accountant is going to be number one right now. People are like,
I think it's because they announced the sequel. There's like more traction or some shit. I don't know.
It's number one right now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What an odd little film.
It's fucking weird. Like all of a sudden. People really like stimming.
My favorite thing in that fucking movie is when like the fucking cop, she goes, "It's all artists, dude." And it's like, yeah, no shit, stupid.
You can't fix stupid. Like, fuck it. Yeah, it'd be better if you were autistic because you'd already fucking know that.
Yeah, you would have figured it out already.
Yeah.
Dumb idiot. Loser.
So, accountant and hypnotic double feature.
Dude, hypnotic is way fucking worse than the accountant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Hypnotic's... I'm seriously it fucking kind of hurts my feelings. You guys don't watch it, like Hypnotic, Rebel Moon.
Well, my mom put it on. And I was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
Moon?
No, Hypnotic.
Oh fuck!
Because she doesn't watch sci-fi. I was like, "No, what are you doing? Don't watch this. Don't watch this."
They might like it. You know what?
You stopped her from watching it.
I was like, "No, don't do this, mom. No, this isn't. You're not ready for this."
It makes Deja Vu look like fucking Inception. Like it makes it look like fucking the real deal,
dude.
It's fucking dumb.
I've seen Deja Vu like six or seven times, bro.
It's Tony Scott.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's good.
Deja Vu is what, Denzel Washington?
Yeah.
A little time loop thing.
You're all
Deja Vu greater than Tenet. No. That's fucked up.
Any timey-wimey movie greater than Tenet.
Well, Primer.
Primer, Definitely better than Tenet.
The one. Primer's like fucking the most cerebral movie ever made, probably. I would almost say.
I got my coworker to finally watch Tenet, and he got the hooks in him. He was like, I think I got to see it again. I was like, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, this is have it.
He's going to be fucking retarded.
Yeah.
And it was seen that poster that shows the timeline of Primer? Like, it's just like...
Oh, it's like 8, 9 yeah. timelines?
It's fucking... Oh, no, it's more than that.
Yeah, I'm right? not going to fucking lie, dude. I've seen it... I saw it a total of 3 times. And do I... Oh, I get... Like, dude, I know I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I can feel it lose me. And it's not because it's just like... It's being surreal. It's like, no, it lost me.
I think anybody that says like, oh no, I understand all the timelines for Primer. It's like, bullshit. You're dumb, that's, dude. Yeah. Don't be stupid.
There's no reason to fucking say that. Like there is something. There's a lot of movies and not many of them are like just fucking that complex. And it's like one of them.
Yeah. No, I tried to convince myself. Like, I'm going to like it. The second time. And I'm like, nah, I still don't get it.
Yeah. You don't like it?
No, I do, but I don't get what you're saying. I don't hate it. Like. Yeah. It's just, you know, I still don't get it.
That movie
it's
is
a procedural.
That movie is a favorite.
Yeah.
For the Jorjito.
I haven't seen any of his other movies. I haven't seen Upstream Color or...
Upstream Color's really weird.
I tried Upstream Color.
He's like another, you know, Benson and Moorhead type of guy, it seems like.
He's more complicated than that. He's more left brain than that, I would say.
Okay.
Benson and Moorhead, like, they write, like, characters, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, have emotions and...
That's true. a little bit more cinema.
Like, a little bit, yeah. Primer's so fucking... Yeah, I'd like to kind of rewatch that.
Yeah, look at this poster, dude. It's just, like, crazy. It's all, like, this is seen in the movie. This is the rest of this shit, not seen in the movie.
It's kind of, like, fucking the difference between... It's, like, have you ever seen Aphex Twin's music transcribed?
No.
Like, it's a good Google. Like, you just Google transcription of Aphex Twin because he's programmed all this shit.
You mean, like, the shit that converts audio into imagery?
It converts it into sheet music.
Oh.
So if you were actually... Because Aphex Twin is, like, he's a fucking phenomenal composer.
Yeah. Paul and I are big Aphex Twin dudes.
Right. Yeah. And it just happens that a lot of it's electronics. You can do things intuitively with electronics that you wouldn't fucking... comprehend doing with written music.
Mm.
So seeing his stuff get translated to written music,
yeah,
you see how fucked up it is. Like hearing it, you're like, wow, that's real intricate. Seeing it, you're like, that is fucked up. Like that is really crazy because he didn't make it that way.
Yeah,
he didn't make it like on sheet music. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a good Google. But yeah,
it's the real thing.
Primer is like Aphex Twin, the movie.
Fuck.
What?
Wow. That's saying something.
That's a lot in one sentence.
And not like come to daddy. Not that. No. Yeah, that's different. That's it.
Well, all right.
What else we got going on? What are you excited about? Is there anything you're excited about?
Dude, April's got a lot of releases. Like big movies, small movies, TV shows. We got Fallout next week.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully that'll be okay.
Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yes. Yes, yes. Fucking, we got a lot. This is like the year of like indie horror movies coming to theaters, you know, like this weird, which is cool. It's kind of, it's great to see these films that would never have a chance to ever come and get a theatrical release. But because of how, you know, fucked some of the movie industry, the theater industry is, that they kind of have a chance to shine. I think you could thank Terrifier for that.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, man. Honestly, as bad as it is, it's kind of true. Like, this Blood and Honey being in theaters.
I think you can thank, I mean, I get what you're saying. You can thank the pandemic for disrupting that the entire theatrical model.
Yeah, they had to restart from scratch. Yeah.
So they're like, anything that will drive people to this fucking theater.
Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah.
Anything. At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in horror movies, yeah, there's not that many. You got the big studio releases, but there's a lot of indie stuff. Stop Motion was in theaters. Late Night with the Devil. Fucking, we got Stung coming up. Your favorite movie, Jorge.
Who knows if it's not a good movie, but that title with that fucking poster is ridiculous.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
I can't wait for that shit.
Yeah. It was all practical looking and shit. Yeah.
Giant fucking Black Widow.
Yeah.
Called Stung. Dude, honestly, that didn't even occur to me till you said it. I was just like accepting of this title. It looked fucking dumb, but I was like, wow, spiders don't even sting.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
That's dope.
We got Radio Silence, their new film. The guys who did Ready or Not and Scream 5. They did Abigail coming out, little dark vampire horror comedy. And then, shit, what else is coming out? We got Arcadian coming out, First Omen. So you got some big studio stuff.
First Omen has some good social media reactions. By the time they hear this, we'll all know. We'll all know how mid it is.
Yeah. But April's got a pretty big slate. A lot of movie releases, TV shows. It's fucking, I already got my AMC A-list all fully booked with Monkey Man, First Omen, and Monkey Civil Man. War.
Dude, fucking, come on, man. You got to watch RRR, dude.
I do. Arr. Yeah, I know.
You'll fucking like that.
It's because Courtney doesn't care because she's racist. No,
dude, I get it. But once you watch it and it's a musical, she would fucking love that movie.
Exactly. No, I believe you. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, he's racist in the other way. That's the only Punjabi movie that he knows.
Yeah, well, that's when it happened. I remember Northern California Michelangelo. Was like, oh, this is like gonna start like a whole Bollywood. I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to watch a bunch of Bollywood movies. I'm talking about this movie. This movie's fucking dope. This is not like the beginning of my like let's get into Indian cinema era. I was saying this fucking movie is dope, and it happens to be from India. So yeah, you're right. I'm not. I don't want to watch any other Indian movies.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Monkey Man out.
No. I'm curious. Dev Patel. Fucking he. Came out with some interviews talking about just the absolute just chaos of this production and how one COVID happened, of course, which that's everybody's situation with some of their movies they've made that are coming out now. But he also was like, he lost like all the shooting locations, like half the fucking cast dropped out or he couldn't get to them. And like, we're talking like El Mariachi, like guerrilla filmmaking where he's got like key grips and lighting techs, like in the movie as extras and secondary characters, the whole thing. Like he fucking like lost, like all the shit was breaking, like the rigging for the camera shit. And they were like, we're talking like aerial shots where the camera's just dangling on a rope. Like the whole thing is just fucked. And he broke his hand and fucked up and shattered his wrist, and he had to get screws in his hand, and then just continued literally shooting the next day action sequences. And
literally.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know how it's going to translate on screen. It could be fucking overhyped trash. Or it could be quote unquote the next John Wick. But you know, this whole like influence of John Wick into action movies is great. I think it's really heightened the quality of action films, and so we'll see.
Yeah. True that.
I much prefer like Spider-Man to Monkey Man, you know what I mean? Or Batman to Monkey
Man. Does he turn into a monkey?
Kind of, right?
Yeah, he wears a mask.
The spirit of the monkey.
Mm. Yeah, it's like based on some real, like some Indian folktale shit.
Hanuman.
Yeah, and then I got my tickets too for Civil War IMAX early access screening for next Monday.
Woo! So Alex Garland says he's retiring from filmmaking after.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That is interesting.
He said he fell out of love with filmmaking.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I think he yeah.
The meme from the old lady from fucking, good for him. Good for him.
What do you think of that? Do you think, I think as a writer, I think he'll do just fine.
Yeah, because I saw he's still doing 28 years later. He's still attached to stuff
as a
writer.
It's like Lizzo quitting the music industry. Not true.
I think there's been people who said that and they ended up not doing it. But I also think like, I mean, fuck, man. He had a quote that was hard to kind of like understand what he was saying.
I know what you're talking about too. I was like, I kind of get what you're saying. Yeah.
I have to interact with people in a way that's not rude. And I couldn't quite grasp what he was saying. And then he's like, my life, filmmaking doesn't exist in a vacuum. And so I kind of get what he's saying. He's like, it sounded like he was kind of evasively saying, I need to like focus on my life,
mm-hmm.
not just filmmaking.
Yeah.
But then what he said about like...
It sounds like it's so exhausting trying to sell a movie to your actors, the whole crew, and your vision, and trying to tell people to really fall in love with your vision and understand and trust in the director. Because that's what every filmmaking process is everybody putting their complete trust in the director that their vision's going to come together by the time the movie comes out. And I think he felt like he was tired of of that exercise.
Yeah, I think he didn't. That's what I mean. The corralling a bunch of people and all that. I don't think that's his wheelhouse. And I don't. It sounded like he didn't enjoy that part.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. It's there's nothing wrong with the industry. It's the same shit as it is for every other director, but it's just not his cup of tea.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm liking him getting out before he really fucks it.
I mean, he has a pretty solid record minus Men, depending on what you feel about that film.
I like
you
know? It.
Yeah, me too. So I think besides that, yeah, it's a fucking solid streak.
Did you ever watch directing. That show he did, Devs?
No, I didn't watch it. I think Paul did, but
it's pretty good, man.
A few people online I was reading, they said it was his crowning achievement.
It's really it's pretty well done. It's got I mean, I could look it up. It's right in front of me right here.
He's got the little homie.
What I didn't know from that article was that he was a fucking secret co-director for Dread. I thought he just wrote it. That's fucking sick. Yeah.
It's got Nick Offerman in it. It's pretty good. So yeah, I recommend that little miniseries. It's good.
Just continue writing sci-fi and he'll be, that's fine with me.
Dope.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited for Civil War at this point, too.
Yeah. I think Paul really wants to go shooting with you. And
let's do it.
And then, Rhett, you should totally tag along. Yeah. I might even go. I haven't gone shooting
in maybe 10 years or something. A little work trip. Maybe we go watch Civil War and then go shooting.
We'll watch Problemista and then go shooting.
No, thank you.
Ah, well, that's called a compromise. I can go.
I'm not dating you, brother. I don't need to compromise.
Good response. He's like, I'm gonna compromise with shit. You don't give me fucking sex. I don't live with you.
You don't give me the sex.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I don't give you the sex. You know,
I do know.
Yeah. God, there's a couple fucking quotes in particular from reviewers regarding Civil War that got me super fucking excited, and I had screenshotted them,
and now they're gone.
Oh, I found them. An upsetting sensory experience accompanied by thundering cacophonies and paralyzing scenes of war and savagery so vast, intense, and overwhelming that you can practically taste the gunpowder lingering in the air.
Dude, that's all I'm hearing is like, it is one of the craziest depictions of fucking,
combat.
Yeah, of combat.
That's what one of them had this ridiculously fucking hyperbolic statement. Said the best combat ever put to film.
It's like, okay.
It's like, yeah. Saving Private Ryan? Saving Private Ryan? Like, Saving Private Ryan? Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, right.
This can't be. Like, even like Black Hawk Down, like fucking Ridley Scott. Like, I'm not a huge fan of that movie, but that shit was fucking like.
It had its strong moments.
Like, yeah. That's some good military porn right there.
Yeah.
But, this one. Garland may have just delivered one of the most vicious and unrelenting watches of the year.
Oh! I really don't think it's going to do well in the box office, man. Like, seeing the both sides of the political spectrum hate on it for different reasons. One saying like, this movie should not come out right now. That's too dangerous. You know,
so fucking lame.
Yeah, and then there's other people.
So lame.
And then there's other people that just don't buy into it at all.
Is this the movie we need right now?
Yeah.
Well, because there's people that are like, oh, the Florida California alliance. Stupid. That makes no sense. It's like, yeah. I think you're taking it like very literal.
Yeah, it's both sides. And I'm like,
they're like,
damn.
This would never happen because, like, you know, politically, that's why he selected it like that, maybe. Yeah.
And then
Alex Garland, he doesn't know that. Alex Garland is like,
he's oblivious.
He's slow.
Yeah.
If Ex Machina was written by someone who is very unintelligent. Like, it's obvious, right? Fuck yeah, it. Dude. He lacks conceptual understanding of political parties,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, dude, he's dumb. Idiot.
Fucking
idiot loser.
Assumptive bullshit. Like, it's crazy. But, I'm looking forward to that. Oh, I was going to try to see Deadly Prey here in town at a midnight showing or a 10 p.m. showing.
Yeah.
On Saturday. We're seeing, I had already bought tickets for Sophia to see Willow Pill.
Oh, shit. So that'd be fun. That would be cool.
That would be fun. That's two drag shows in a year.
Damn.
After Bianca Del Rio. I would like to see Violet Chachki. You know who that is?
No.
She fine. He fine. Whatever's going on, fine.
They are fine.
And the bet, thank you. That's, they are fine. And, I think it's he. He's not transgender. He's a drag queen.
Yeah.
You can get away with just saying they.
Because it covers the...
It covers everything.
You know what? I'm a they now then. No, I'm just kidding. No, but...
You can be. It's fine.
I don't want to be. I want to.
I'm gonna refer to you as they.
I can require you not to refer to me.
I mean, that is true. You can. You can have a certain amount of.
I have a say.
You have agency in that. That is true.
I finally have agency for something. No, but Willow Pill does like crazy experimental shit. Bianca Del Rio is like the total clown, like great insult comic. But Violet Chachki is just the fashion and the design is fucking crazy. Mm. So I highly recommend.
Okay.
If you're feeling kind of gay,
yeah,
check out Violet Chachki.
Mm. Okay.
What else? Yeah, man. Deadly Prey fucking show. I was so fucking excited.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites, dude, for bad movies.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching?
Oh. Oh! Well, Sophia and I watched a little film Jorge was waiting for called Problemista. It's a little problemista.
It's a little problematic, if you're asking me.
It is not problematic. The dude's from El Salvador who wrote it, directed, and stars in it. And he's more El Salvadorian than you.
That's true, because I'm not from El Salvador.
Exactly. So you don't know shit about El Salvador.
But
I know all about El Salvador.
I do know about Latino brown face.
You don't, because he's not. His face is literally already brown.
Nah, I don't buy
no
it.
No makeup.
I don't buy it.
But yeah, and he is an immigrant as well. He's not just like, hey, let me. Mm-hmm. I grew up in privilege. Let me make a story about how hard it is for immigrants. Because that's what you're thinking. And I don't blame you for thinking that. It's really funny. It uses the immigration situation as a launch pad for an absurdist fucking comedy.
Oh, how novel.
With surrealism. And that's not the only thing it does. It does a lot of shit about fucking modern living. Living in the 21st century. Living online.
Mm-hmm.
Interacting with customer service shit. Like, anytime he has to interact with a customer service person on the phone or the computer, it cuts to this surrealist thing where they're in the same room together and they're like having a battle. It's really fucking well rendered. It's really
shit. Good.
Tilda Swinton is all about it. So A24 strikes again. Sophia loved it. Mm. I liked it. And some of it was goddamn funny. Some of it was fantastic. And I really want to do it on the show.
It's the only way you're going to get me to watch it.
Look, man, it's not like this fool or something, Jorge. It's not
it
like
sounds like
you thought
it
was A24 is this fool.
Sounds like it, dude.
Well, even that, A24 is this fool. I'm like, I'm okay with that. It's a long way from that. That and Love Lies Bleeding are probably like the year's young. I really liked both of those for this year so far. But we're like 3 or 4 months in.
Yeah.
And Dune Part 2 was okay.
According to Jacob, he didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Part 1 is a far superior film.
Yeah.
But now Jorge, he actually agrees with that.
I think I do.
I think you got to see it twice, though.
Because there's more Zendaya in Part 2.
Right.
You have a point.
Yeah, the more you keep bringing it up, the more I'm like, damn, dude.
Do I feel that way?
These are my people.
Yeah. I just feel like, the moments that pay off in Part 2 are fucking just extreme dopeness.
Yeah, it's like five of the most epic sequences of the year, just like perfectly just paced throughout this movie.
And yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
it's just moments.
Major fucking like moments.
Yeah,
that's the best way to put it.
One or two moments. We just watched that the other day too.
What the fuck is that?
Deadpool.
Oh, Colossus.
Yeah,
that shit's good. We continued our Alien thing, Sophia and I. Hi, Sophia. We watched Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection because those would come after all the other ones. And
yes.
Fuck, man. Alien 3, I, like many, I had a soft spot for it for years.
It's hard to defend, isn't it?
Yeah, as more time goes by, and I know there's a director's cut, it's not just, the bleakness is fine. Wanting to go back to the singular alien is fine. It's just, a lot of it is kind of incoherent plot-wise even. Like, it's needlessly. Like, how did Ripley get pregnant, and why does it take so long for it to gestate? And then I'm going on Reddit while we're watching it, and there's legitimate confusion because there's so many different cuts of the film.
Yep.
And it's like, fuck, dude. But it has its little moments, you know? But then, like, the CGI alien is, like, not aging well, and a lot of it is really just bland.
It's a little exhausting, yeah.
It is a little exhausting. And so it's got this mixture of bleakness, blandness, and corniness. And that's not good. But then it's got some good old fucking Fincher's. And he hates that movie, too.
Yeah.
We love David Fincher. Well, I don't love this Netflix fucking.
It's one of those, you know.
Era.
We fucking love Fincher with the exception of one film.
Well, and Mank. You've never even watched Mank.
No.
That's how fucking. That's how good at being cinephiles we are. I haven't even fucking watched one of his movies.
I heard it was a lot of studio interference with Alien 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said no one hates it more than him because of that. Anyway, though, and then we watched Alien Resurrection right after it in the same evening. And it had been a few years since I watched it, and it was cool to have someone. She didn't remember shit. She said she saw it in high school, but didn't remember a damn thing. And look, like, I used to rank that beneath Alien 3, but not now. Like, it's fucking, it's... Alien and Aliens, it's nowhere near that, right? But it's bonkers. Like, it's
bonkers. The pacing is pretty fucking solid.
It's got Brad Dourif. It's got Leland Orser, who's the panic fucking dude from Seven. And then this one, he's like fucking, like, what's inside me? Which is fucking dope.
Yeah.
It's got Ron Perlman in it.
Ron Perlman. It's got a Joss Whedon script, which usually sucks, but at least they're trying something different.
Yeah.
It's like we mentioned on the pre-show. Again, I don't understand... I understand they want fucking Sigourney Weaver, so they got to come up with a reason. But it's like 200 years later, they clone her. It's like the fuck.
Well, they were cloning her because they needed a xenomorph, right?
Yeah, but the xenomorphs have been spreading. They didn't just spread to Ripley and that's it. They weren't only on LV-426. Like, if they're such a perfect organism, they wouldn't be confined to one fucking planet. Like
I know, saying that they were a perfect organism has like. Really fucked up the franchise.
Yeah, because that was the thing. Because they can use a host. It's been 200 years since Alien 3, and you need Ripley. And also, why'd you wait so fucking long then? like, oh, we didn't have the technology. It's just goofy. But once you get past that, you know, you've got some really gross stuff. You got that fucking hybrid alien, which is fucking disgusting.
It's nasty. It's fucking gross.
That is hideous. You got a great scene where she's checking out all the fucked up clones that the trial and error process, it didn't work out.
Yeah, like the alien queen giving birth to the fucking thing is like awful.
Yeah. Because she's got a freaking human's reproductive system now.
Yeah.
Because her DNA is kind of melded with Ripley's, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were both cloned. So that was like something I hadn't recalled. Like, that was cool. And Brad Dourif's doing like a fucking monologue on top of it, which it's absurd, but I'm kind of like,
all right. Experimentation they're doing on the aliens and those little, like pods is crazy.
Yeah. And they bring in like six fucking people, prisoners, and they just open face huggers in front of them. Like
some dope shots on that. Yeah. Some of the cinematography is kind of cool in that.
That shit's pretty cool. But yeah, nowhere
the
near.
The clone room is dope.
Yeah, and so for the outsider's perspective, who's not beholden to just saying Alien's perfect, you know, and like, again, Sophia's ranking now stands as Aliens, 1986, fucking Prometheus.
Crazy.
Alien Covenant.
Wild.
Fuck yeah.
Alien.
That's fucking wild.
Because she's just not giving, like, it's not like, I'm like, well, it created the thing. It's like, she's like, okay, cool. It's not holding up.
Well, yeah, because it's so easy to be like, oh, Alien, clearly the best. It's like, nah, dude, like, some people have different fucking views on that view.
Yeah, and I kind of like it. Like, she's not saying fucking Alien 3, like, so good. No, and then...
What if she had, though?
No. And also, like, initially, she wanted to almost turn it off and watch something else within 15 minutes, and that's how I was like, damn, we're in a rough fucking patch with Alien 3. But...
Once Alien 3 is over, it's pretty smooth sailing in terms of goofiness after that. So it's like, okay,
all goofy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, until you get to the prequels, you know? And then fucking things get, after the first third of Prometheus, things get properly fucking heavy again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got to dip your toe into AVP, homie.
I think we do too.
Fuck yeah.
It's wet my appetite. Yes. And she said she thought it was awesome when she saw it in the theater. And I'm like, that's 2004. And I'm like, bad news.
That sounds like me saying it, dude.
That's sick. And she's, I was young, though. I didn't know what I was talking about. I was like, okay, that's fucked up. Like, you thought it was awesome seeing xenomorphs on a CGI pyramid. And that's fucking dumb.
Nope.
The fucking, like, football side, like, huge linebacker predators, like...
PG-13 alien predator movie.
And then the fucking alien queen whipping the chain around at the end. Yeah. Fuck yeah, bro.
We'll see.
You're fucked in the ass if you don't think that's not good.
That's it for me, man. And X-Files and Next Generation continues. Do you remember the Next Generation episode, The Inner Light? Where Picard, like, is unconscious from a probe and he lives, like, an entire separate life?
No. It's fucking dope.
Okay.
It's currently... It's sitting at a 9.4 on the old IMDb.
Wow.
And with good reason.
Fantastic episode.
Okay.
And there was an X-Files episode with Brad Dourif. Where he's, like, he's treating it... Every fucking movie he's in, he just goes for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It prompted me to watch... There's a YouTube fucking video about, like, a thing about Brad Dourif. He's just fucking nuts.
And his daughter's in Tenet.
Is she?
Yeah. She's the one that gives him the rules. Remember?
Oh, yeah. What the hell?
It's fucking weird, right?
That is weird. Anyway. Yeah, this guy... every time he fucking... He's crazy. And that's Chucky. That's Chucky's voice also.
Yeah.
Yep. What'd you watch, Jacob?
The two quick ones real quick. I've just been putting on some anime in the background, like on the weekends or if I'm at work. Rewatched Wicked City for the nth time. And then I've been wanting to watch for a while. I watched, and you mentioned it in the pre-show, which is crazy, but Gogol 13, The Professional. And, you know, just I love these animes that feel like they could be live-action films, you know, like... Perfect Blue or Jinro and shit like that. I love it. It's just the medium itself is just in anime form, but the story could easily be live action. And that movie is fucking great. Very brutal. It's a good little hitman assassination film. Other films I watched.
Shit fucking NES games go along with it.
Can't win them all.
Yeah. I showed Courtney for the first time The Omen. I wanted to rewatch it. I haven't seen it since I was probably like 13 or 14. I'm getting prepared for the first Omen. You know, I
think a lot of folks are.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic for the first Omen. It's a legacy prequel. We'll see. It wasn't until one of our Patreon members, I think it was Cannibal Man, mentioned, you know, like what's going to happen? How are they going to connect it with the... with the original film, with, you know, the mother of Damien being a jackal, you know, when they unearthed the tomb.
Some metaphor, dude.
And then, you know, when you watch the trailer for this prequel, you know, it's obviously a human. So there's going to be some sort of scenario going there with the jackal. I don't know how it's going to play out, but we'll see. So I showed Courtney The Omen. She loved it. I didn't appreciate it as much when I was a teenager. I realized it's actually a genuinely good film. I think it came out 7 years later than Exorcist. I can't remember, but
The Omen?
Yeah, it came out.
Richard Donner. You know that?
Yeah, he fucking
Superman, Lethal Weapon.
It's crazy, dude.
Assassins.
Yeah, he did like a lot of
with Antonio Banderas.
He did some buddy cop shit. Yeah, it's really weird. Great film though. I like the investigative mystery of it. It's not just like a straight up Exorcist, like just self-contained story. It's a kind of a not globetrotting, but it kind of does explore and kind of travel around. I had a great time.
Pope's Exorcist, dude.
There you go. Absolutely. Ooh. It does have that slight, like, adventurous aspect to it. And Gregory Peck is fucking dope in that movie. And he lost, I think, one of his kids or something, like, in real life. So he took on that role because in the movie, he lost his own kid, his character. So, yeah, he did a great job in that.
You know, because it's on brand. I had forgotten Richard Donner directed The Goonies also. Mm. And he also was one of the executive producers on Tales from the Crypt.
Shit, yeah.
So, he's a good genre fellow.
Yeah. Mm. Reminds me of, like, the guy who did Black Christmas. You know, he did the Christmas story and shit.
Black motherfucking Christmas. You're the new one? The reboot? The second reboot?
Totally. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
That one.
I also checked out a little movie called Godzilla X Kong New Empire.
Holy shit.
Woo! Okay, yeah, dude. Yeah, man.
Go off. Yeah, no.
Go off, King.
Yeah, dude, listen, this fucking movie, it's one of those films that It's not, but it almost feels critic proof because it just really doesn't give a fuck what it's doing. It's really just, here's a little plot to get from just action sequence to action sequence. This is like 10 years of people bitching since Gareth Edwards' Godzilla that there's not enough screen time for the monsters. So it went from like, you know, the 7 minutes of screen time from 2014's Godzilla to now about 70 minutes of screen time of kaijus fucking around and not even just fighting. I mean, like, we're talking Godzilla's questing and doing shit and going to Mordor and fighting fucking crackhead apes and using baby chimps as nunchucks and doing one-liners. And it's
and cartoon sound effects when you
like there's literally a scene where he throws a boulder at another crackhead ape and it goes bonk. And it's fucking crazy. Like, Courtney and I kept looking at each other like, dude, I can't believe this is the type of movie this is. Like, we took some hash edibles, and there was a sequence about 25% of the film where they go into the Hollow Earth. And it's a sequence that was done in the last one, but they wanted to do it, rather than being, like, cool, trippy, they wanted to make it more comedic. And they straight up did, like...
A Hollow Earth in a Hollow Earth.
They'd have that, but the sequence of them going to Hollow Earth is, like, the fucking Willy Wonka chocolate factory riverboat scene. And it... Dude, our edibles were kicking in, and we're like, this is the most unhinged shit I've ever seen. Like, it's fucking crazy, man. Like, Godzilla's not in too much, so for Godzilla fans, you might be a little disappointed. It's a Kong movie through and through. He's questing. He's fighting bad guys.
Why don't they just make... It's just Donkey Kong.
It is. Dude, and you know what? I'm a King Kong guy, so I was happy with it. Same with Courtney. And this fucking movie is just nonstop ridiculousness. Like, the way... I've never seen a kaiju movie with, like, this much, like, emoting... from these giant monsters. Like, they're almost like...
Oh, treated as the main character.
They're straight up, like, almost like full-on dialogue without any subtitles. Like, you totally understand what's happening because of the facial expressions, the CGI and shit. It's fucking crazy. And, like, having, like, the Millie Bobby Brown shit gone, and you got unhinged Dan Stevens. Thank God. And you got the... I forgot his name.
Rebecca Hall's in it?
Like, she was in the last one.
I know, but...
And she's giving it her all, and it's... You got, like, telepathic tribes people and crystal temples. I mean, it is the most ridiculous film I've ever seen. And it's bad, 100%. But
that's beside the point.
Yeah, it really is. Like I said, it almost feels critic-proof because I'm just like, this is it went full R, you know what I mean? Like,
it's, well, you fucking, successfully... turn me around on seeing it for curiosity's sake.
That's crazy. Yeah. Because I can't believe it.
Because I want to see if I walk out of it and just hate it anyway.
Yeah.
And I probably will, but that doesn't mean I don't want to see. Because we got the AMC thing.
We're not
fucking spending money on it. We already spent the $24
this
for
is
a month.
I could not believe that they spent $135 million and got away with doing the shit they did in this movie.
Yeah, and I've seen like 4 Transformers movies in the theater for the same reason. For the same fucking reason. I want to experience the people.
You King Kong's got better dental insurance than like half of America in this movie. And he's like, there's like a sequence of just him getting a tooth extracted and he's got his badass chrome tooth and he's grinning and shit. And he's got this attitude and it's fucking.
And then he gets a fucking robot arm.
And he gets a robot arm. And there's all these rock ballads like it's Guardians of the Galaxy. And Dan Stevens is doing the most insane performance I've ever seen from him. It was out of fucking pocket with that shit. But, you know, he's reuniting with Adam Wingard after The Guest. So they're kind of like two buddies doing their shit. But this movie doesn't give a fuck what you think. And honestly, as a Godzilla fan too, just real quick, like, people are like, oh, you know, fucking what the fuck happened to Godzilla? I thought, what happened to Godzilla being scary? I'm like... Out of 38 movies, there's only 3 serious Godzilla movies. There's 1954, Shin Godzilla, and Minus One. Yeah. And the other ones are either trash or goofy, silly, and joyful. Like, it's always been like this. And this, if you said, like, how do we take late Showa-era Godzilla movies into the modern age, this is exactly that movie.
I don't understand why you didn't include in that list of the 3 Godzilla 98.
Because it's not scary, it's just trash.
It is one of the
scariest movies. That soundtrack is fucking terrifying. Is it P. Diddy?
It is Puff Daddy. Oh,
damn, it was Puff Daddy at that point, not P. Diddy. That's right. What do we call?
come with me.
Oh, he was talking to all the people that he was trapping. He was talking to
all the children he was trafficking.
Yeah.
I close my eyes.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's GXK. Highly recommend. See on the biggest screen. It's obnoxious, loud, unapologetic. And then real quick, another movie I saw. Fucking... Finally saw my second Ken Russell film.
Oh!
I saw The Devils. I've
never seen that shit.
Based off the nonfiction book, The Devils of Loudon. And it is one of the most depraved, like, fucking vile movie. I thought this was like a fun, cheesy grindhouse.
Is Oliver Reed in it?
Oliver Reed.
He's fucking nuts.
I only know him from Gladiator, obviously. Oh, okay. And I haven't even seen that movie since I was a kid.
He's Bill Sykes and Oliver. He's been in a lot of good British films.
Man, this guy, first of all, he is like the most attractive human specimen of the 70s. He's so great in this role. And two, he is, I don't know if it is his greatest acting achievement ever, but it is fucking insanely good, man. And the architecture, the way it's shot, there's neo-futurism architecture for a 17th century French film.
Let's do it on the show soon, dude. This is really hot. Really well regarded.
I like that.
This movie is so depraved and vile. I really thought it was like a cheesy nunsploitation grindhouse movie. No, it is like an actual almost 10 out of 10 for me, man. This is a masterpiece. And, you know, so many people on Patreon saw it. And I was like, oh, I didn't know this is like a really well-regarded film seen by a lot of people. It had like 14,000 reviews on Letterboxd. Yeah. This movie was put out by Warner Brothers, which they actually regretted because they had to censor the shit out of it for a U.S. release.
Let's do it sounds like we could do a Ken Russell month.
Dude, you...
Because we haven't done Altered States on the show.
You would talk...
That's fucking amazing.
There's a lot to talk about, a lot to unpack. I won't even go into much detail, but this shit blew my mind.
What was the movie... We saw a movie not that long ago, relatively, that had this kind of vibe. It was a French movie.
Benedetta. Paul Verhoeven.
I didn't have time, but I wanted to watch. I wanted to watch some.
I'll have to see that one.
I'll have to think about it for a bit. But anyway, doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
That's me, though. That's all I can see.
My campaign for this Kong Gods, because I can see it by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, like I was asking Sophia on Sunday, because I knew she did. Because she knows I'm hating on this shit.
Yeah.
Because we were seeing the trailer. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, yeah,
we're fucking doomed.
You hate it, but you're trying to convince her to go watch it, now, which is wild.
Like, what happened? I'm like, well, I mean, what happened with Madame Web? You know what happened. Like, but also, this is not Madame Web. This is like something else. This is...
It really, like I said in my little, not review, but my thoughts on Instagram about it, like, this should achieve like cult status immediately for me. Like, I really want this to be like a midnight B-movie, because that's really what it's going for.
Yeah, she texted me yesterday. She texted me... Hi, love. I'm sorry. You want to watch Godzilla vs. Kong? I'll go with you. I don't want to take away from you missing on how bad it is. Which is like, that's such like...
That's dope.
Down. And so, 3D IMAX. Going 3D IMAX.
That's probably better than what I saw in Dolby, but 3D IMAX I do. Because the whole movie is quote-unquote shot in IMAX. It's obviously all CGI. And the whole movie's
fucking CGI. So I don't care about like fucking what it looks like. The fidelity of the image. Like, 3D this bullshit.
Yeah.
I want it. I want the dumb shit.
This is one of the ones that you just got to go full dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so we're going to check it out soon.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Tight.
What'd you watch?
Nothing of note.
Did you watch that Gold show?
It's over. Season's over.
You're not moving on to some other seasons?
Well, no, it's over. Like, it's not over, but like, I'm not going to go backwards in time. I've already seen where they've gotten to.
You didn't want to start with just the bullshit.
Yeah, because then I know where they're going. So now I got to wait for the new season. It's dope as shit though, man.
To go back to Oliver Reed real quick, that guy is an infamous drunk. Like, infamous.
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, he was on a fucking British talk show, and they were trying to, like, be coy about, I heard you have a bird of prey tattooed on some part of your body. And Oliver Reed was, like, noticeably annoyed. I think you can find it on YouTube. And he was drunk. And then, like, he wasn't answering, and he's like, it's on my cock! Because he got a bird fucking tattooed to his dick. Like, so when his cock gets hard, it's like a fucking bird's head.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so he's a lunatic.
Yeah, and in this movie, a lunatic. In this movie, The Devils, it's about he's a sexy priest who just wants to fuck all the nuns. You know, well, all the nuns want to fuck him.
It's just he's being himself,
and he's fantastic, man. Yeah. He's a sight to behold, and yeah, he's got a great mustache, and
yeah,
I didn't know. Did he die of alcoholism? Because he died shortly after in the middle of Gladiator.
Because they had to. That was one of the first things where they put a CGI face on him real quick. You know about that?
When
he looks back at when they come up to stab him, they had superimposed his face on
shit. There.
I don't know what the circumstances of his death were, but I wouldn't be surprised if you knew.
But yeah, that is fucking tight. I want to like explore some of his other films because his shit in The Devils is just a straight up masterpiece, man. His dialogue and his acting. I've never seen someone fucking give it this hard, like 200%.
He fucks.
There you go. Oh.
Ooh, The Brood. He's in The Brood. The David Cronenberg movie.
Yeah.
I forgot about that shit. Have you seen that?
A long time ago. Yeah.
Fuck, dude, we're going to do an Oliver Reed month. No, I'm just kidding.
The whole month. Fuck.
Anyway, yes.
All right.
Good stuff.
We're going to be right back. Talk about
something that was filmed with a camera.
Yeah. Ooh.
Happens if you fuck the wrong way. Right?
To the Royals, you mean?
To the Royals. Oh, that guy's got cancer.
You get Kate Middleton, man.
Yeah!
What
happened to her?
She's got cancer.
Oh, yeah. She's got it. King Henry or whatever? What's the fucking king's name? Does he have it?
You mean King Charles?
Yeah, his hands are fucked up.
I get all my news from just the headlines on magazines at the checkout stand at grocery stores.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I know she has cancer.
Well, it was awful because like you saw all these fucking nerds on YouTube about like, oh, why aren't the Royals releasing it? Because she's fucking got cancer, you asshole. Like
you're all protective.
Well, it's just, it was like, the people were like digging. And it's like
fucking obvious.
The photoshopping of this one picture and this. It's like, dude, can she have fucking...
It's just like the Princess Diana shit. Like, fucking, like, stop.
Yeah. Like, get some fucking help.
Yeah, for
God
real.
God damn.
But, look, I just want to get this out real quick before the Patreon pitch. So Christopher Nolan is being knighted. And, like, Sir Christopher Nolan, that's dope as fuck. But the guy's had a year. He's won seven. The movie won seven Oscars. It fucking almost made $1 billion. He's got knighted. And now it occurs to me, after several billion-dollar grossing films and all of this mainstream success, he's not really like the director. He's not my director anymore. It feels kind of like it's hit critical mass, and he sucks. Chris Nolan sucks.
Yeah.
And now he's a shill for the royal family. Mm-hmm. And this marks a line where, like, now we need to do a retrospective and go back and really assess these films properly, you know, see them with the right cultural lens. And you know, I was rewatching, and they're not that good.
His next
psych,
he needed to pull an Alex Garland and get out, you know. Pull the fucking ripcord.
His next movie, The Prisoner, is gonna be Leonardo DiCaprio being a piece of shit for 3 hours.
Damn. Oh god, please no. Like fucking like Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
KOTFM. Yeah, I watched the first episode of the old show The Prisoner.
Yeah, okay.
It's fucking crazy. And it is...
It's sci-fi,
like,
right?
It seems completely... It's like, if you read the premise, it's like, oh, so it's a Christopher Nolan movie. Like,
yeah,
it's wild.
I just read the synopsis. I was like, okay, this is... Yeah. We're back to the fucking Christopher Nolan Tenet, you know?
Yeah, and it's very loopy. Like, it's very like, it's a loop, like a time loop thing. It's
fucking
and it's
dope.
Like, oh, shit, here we go. But,
well,
you know what else is a loop?
Speaking of three other has-beens, the Who Goes Her podcast.
Yeah, go for it. You do it.
No,
you do
man,
it.
I can't do it. I don't have the wherewithal to really do the Patreon pitch.
You're doing it.
Nah.
I don't have it.
No.
Start by saying the website.
You.
Patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.com is where you can help us do the show. You see, you don't have the wherewithal to fucking...
No.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
It
was good.
Yeah. The show, we love doing the show. It's not free to do the show. It comes with, there's expenses, and you get early access to the episode. You get bonus content, which we used to do sometimes bonus content. Now it's just like every fucking time, right?
Yeah.
It's nonstop.
It's just nonstop bullshit. And then you get exclusive episodes as well. And you can donate a little bit of money or a lot of money. And you can change that as needed. You get access to the Discord. And we appreciate all of our Patreon members. I did want to give a shout out to several people real quick.
Go for it.
One of them is DJ Ace Ventura.
Again?
Again, because he, I guess people, I've heard a few things specifically from people giving their condolences about Little Mark, which on a couple episodes back, I mentioned how he had passed away. And also my sister and her wife in good old Kansas are listening to the show all the time.
Ooh.
They love the show.
Okay.
Hopefully they don't hear me talk about a lesbian character in that Zack Snyder zombie movie looking like Tom Cruise, but they have a sense of humor about these things. But yes, they gave their condolences for Mark as well. And also there's a listener named Caesar who gave his condolences.
Cesar
about little Mark. So thank you very much for your thoughts.
There
your
you go.
Kindness. He was a very special chinchilla. I care more about him than most human beings. And what does that say about me? I don't know.
What does it say about humans in general?
Yeah.
All right. King Hans has now foisted upon us, I think, two films in a row.
Yes.
Well,
no, I mean, what do you mean? We had Virus last.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, you love that.
I do love
Before Virus. Before that, special. Yeah. Special
yeah. Well, okay, so he had us watch 1995's Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell, a Japanese horror film directed by Shinichi Fukuzawa, also written by Shinichi Fukuzawa, also starring Shinichi Fukuzawa. So that just immediately can tell you how
it's like problemista.
This is problemista, but
yeah,
Japanese version.
This is a chingadera. No?
Okay.
you go for it, man.
Well, I mean, I don't even really know how to talk about this thing. Because it almost precludes judgment because it's so absurd. It's a movie called Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell, and it spends the first 30 minutes doing nothing.
Bodybuilder Shinji meets his ex-girlfriend to help with her research on haunted houses. Accompanied by a professional psychic, of course, they visit an abandoned house where they find themselves trapped and tormented by a ghost with a 30-year grudge.
And they literally say, the grudge, in this movie. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what, Jacob, what do you think of this movie? This film thing?
You know, it is a labor of love, whatever the fuck that even means at this point. You're stuck right? in it, dude. Yeah, dude. And it is a tribute to Evil Dead, Sam Raimi. That's how the movie's advertised now. It took 15 years to make, I think. And it's a...
What?
Yeah, I'll get it. We'll get into that. But yeah, it's a tribute to Sam Raimi's Evil Dead, early Peter Jackson. You know, there's plenty of blood. There's no bodybuilding. It has this poor lo-fi analog texture, and it makes it perfect for viewing and like at a bar in the background, like whether it's Tetsuo or Mad like God,
super in the background,
very like super in the background,
on the bartender's phone.
Yeah, it you know. My God, like you know,
another room where yeah. I can't see or hear it.
Fuck, sitting at home though, and putting this on a TV and getting comfortable and trying to watch this from start to finish, dude, it's a fucking chore, even for a 63-minute
brother. It is the longest hour I have experienced in my fucking life.
It I'm not gonna lie, it took me 3 days to finish this 60 minutes, bro. Wow.
Well, and then you texted us. You're like, oh, you're going to love it, Jorge. It's only 63 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I said that
it didn't matter.
I said that when I was 10 minutes into the movie, and I was like, yeah. And I was like, nah, I'm going to spread this out. And then this is the third time I watch it because how many times I've seen it at the bar, because it is like the perfect movie to put on the background. Even I've chose it to be played at the bar, and But yeah, really sitting down and watching
it. So this is something you've watched before.
Yeah.
You're familiar with this.
I didn't know the plot the first three times.
What would you consider this style of filmmaking to be?
Dude, it's... I don't know. You know,
that's a hell of a question.
It's I don't even want to call it guerrilla filmmaking because really when I read... Goddamn, dude, there's like not much like... shit you can find on this movie and dig up on. I saw one interview, I think it was like Planet B something. It was this website for like grindhouse interviews with indie directors. And they had one for this director. And it's the only shit I could find on this guy. And yeah, it took him 15 years to make this movie. So it's not guerrilla filmmaking. It's really just like I'm busy with life.
It's more like guerrillas.
It's a weekend hobby every now and then.
Yeah, it's really like if you two with your, you know, busy life schedule, it's like, oh, let's make a movie. But really you only have like 2 days a month to make a movie. So it ends up taking 7 years to shoot it and 7 years in post-production because that's what happened. And it really fucking shows. It almost doesn't feel like, I said, a labor of love because I feel like there wasn't that much labor. There wasn't much labor. Like it sounded like this shit was hell. And it is amazing that he managed to put it out and it did well on like a digital market, a home video market. But Jesus Christ, man, you fucking the production of this, it's just the cast and the scheduling. He filmed it in a house that I think his dad was ready to sell, so that's why it was empty.
And, oh, dude, topical for the movie, dude.
Right, I know, right? It's like fucking, it's literally the story. So yeah, man, it's pretty to look at. The last 15 minutes are pretty dope, but goddamn, for 60 minutes, the first half, there's nothing going on.
But dude, yeah. You've got 60 minutes. So if you're planning on this motherfucker is going to be 60 minutes long, please, for the love of God, don't fill it with 34 minutes of shitty story.
you doing yours?
I just...
Tell us.
Look, it's funny because there are things in this little thing.
Is it funny? I don't think it's funny.
My enjoyment is kind of funny. I think that's what I... there are things that I kind of dig. The outlandishness of the special effects. There's moments where like they take a literal like drawing,
literal,
and like put animation over it, and it's part of the movie. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, that was
cool. He did all of it. The makeup, the stop motion, he did everything.
But cut the 30 minutes out and just give me that.
Yeah, and I really thought the pacing was gonna be dope. You know, because it starts with like a quote unquote like cold open. You know, it's fucking it feels like it's Evil Dead starting in the middle of the movie. You know, you're like, oh, this dude's killing his girlfriend, and then it jumps 30 years, and you're like, wait, how is this guy 30 years older? And then you realize, oh, it's his dad.
It starts with that, like you said, this pseudo cold open.
Yeah.
With this crazy ass grainy fucking film
thing.
And which is like, okay, it feels very grimy and
yeah.
And then it's like, cool, now the movie's gonna start. And it's like, nope, like gonna stay with this thing the whole time. So there's the passage of time, you can't really tell except like put it together, motherfucker, because it's still gonna look like this. This wasn't just for like this was old timey. It wasn't for effect. This is what we got.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, again, like I'm not just like it could be good like that, and it kind of, I think that veneer like that makes fucking certain horror people like automatically, here's two things. It's fucking Japanese. It has that fucked up veneer, like it's some cheap ass fucking.
Yeah, he shot on Super 8.
And they're immediately like, it's checking boxes for them. Like, oh, okay, well, I like that. So it's cool. Like, it's fucking boring as fuck. Like, but there are three things I like about this movie. One of them is when she fucking does like a quick little punch thing. It was like, that was cute. Mm-hmm. Later on, like someone throws something. He throws something at the dude's head when he comes out with his fucking his weights. And he throws a thing at the dude's head, and it's real comedic timing. And the other thing is like you see this? It's the cover of the.
It's the best part of the movie.
The cover of the DVD or Blu-ray. Like this needs a Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
that cover is the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Because I mean, dude, look, I'm not mad at this thing, but it's like this doesn't, it's 63 minutes that doesn't need to exist.
Is this title Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell? Is that translated or like, because motherfucker A, there's not nearly enough bodybuilding in this thing.
Right.
I want him to be pumping iron the whole time.
Yeah, the director said he planned on doing a lot of bodybuilding for the role, and work got in the way, so he just stopped and he just didn't have time to work out.
He needed to work out another year to call this movie what it is.
Yeah, he had 7 years, but he.
I mean, it's. I do like the Evil Dead nods. I do like the groovy baby stuff and the shotgun usage and all this stuff. I like it when it's being cute. This is barely a film, and it feels almost shitty bad mouthing it because it's like
even the director I'm sure knows what it is, and like, yeah, I know, like the climax, I'm like, oh, he's just fighting two zombies, that's the climax of the movie, just two deadites. I'm like, okay.
Well, and they even have like the hand bit,
the hand head thing that I mean, like.
Yeah,
there's stuff that's in here that's like really inventive and really like thoughtful, but
yeah,
at the end of the day, man, you're not wrong. This is a background bar
thing.
That's it.
That's the show. I'm just kidding.
No, this is where we're gonna take a deep dive into the production design. No, this is where we take a deep dive into the plot. No, this is where we.
Well, okay, look, yeah, look, this could be. So I misunderstood. So the opening scene.
Yes.
The woman attacks the dad.
Yeah. I think the dad spirit said like she was just a fucking crazy ex-lover.
Because I mean, maybe I need to watch it again, but I thought he killed her. He attacked her first.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Fuck. I don't think I was paying that much attention to the plot in the beginning.
I don't know. Your question is what, Jorge? This is important.
But it was a vengeful spirit in the end.
Yeah, well, because I was just wondering. So the dad is very, the father is very instrumental in helping him get out of this place. But I was under the impression that the dad fucking killed this woman and it was nothing of her fault. And so she's vengeful for a good reason. Unless I misunderstood how the fucking movie started.
I wouldn't be surprised if the director forgot the plot over 7 years because he had to reshoot so much. You know, like, even the reason why he had to reshoot it is because of how fucking degraded the film was over these years.
Like, wait a minute, why does he kill her at the beginning?
He just said it was a crazy ex-lover, I think, or something like that. It was very vague.
Is that what was going on?
Yeah.
So
you don't have to kill your ex-lovers, man. You can just let them go.
And if I'm not mistaken, this movie doesn't even have a Wikipedia, right? For the sake of conversation, I'm looking at these IMDb user reviews, right? So this guy gives it a 6 out of 10. So this was shot in the early period of the 90s, straight to video entertainment, but never got released until 2012.
Yeah.
That I did not know. So this shit was shot for direct to video, and it didn't even see the light of day for release until 2012.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it, because that kind of adds to the mystique, because no one even saw it till nearly 30 years
later. Yeah, I think it was like the underground, the underground DVD market, I think, is how I picked up traction, and then Shudder just really, you know, launched it.
Yeah.
You know, and like he shot the whole thing on Super 8. And then when you shoot a movie, you know, you have to digitize it and so you could edit it and stuff like that. And that shit was so expensive. So it took him years to digitize it. And in that time, the film reel aged and the colors were fucked and he had to go back and color correct shit. And the whole thing just became just a money fucking hole for yeah.
Yeah. And it says it can also be seen, this is kind of a going together what you said earlier, as a pre-grudge Ju-on film, since the villain is hell-bent on a grudge toward the living. So it can be seen as a precursor to the Grudge.
Prequel to the Grudge.
Oh.
A sequel to Evil Dead, but a prequel to the Grudge. And I was actually mistaken. She pulls a knife on him.
Initially. Right. Okay. And it's a very realistic knife. No, it doesn't matter. No, but yeah, and then he kills her
in the struggle.
Because he's cheating on her.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that what it was? Shit.
Yeah. He's cheating on her. That's what it was. So, charming, if not a little bland, to say the least. Yes. Great title. Fun film. This person is easy to please. And then we got a hilarious, cheapest of the cheap, a masterpiece in disguise. I don't know about that.
Whoa.
I don't know about that. But it's fun to read these reviews here. Low budget homage to Evil Dead. So, that's the thing, man, too. Like, the homage to Evil Dead thing. When this comes out, 95. Well, it didn't come out. It didn't really, like, come out until 2012. I think that helps it again because there's enough years since Evil Dead where it feels, like, less lazy to be an homage to Evil Dead by 2012 than it would in 1995. Like, in 19... And homage is... They're using the word homage very, like, loosely here. Like, it's not an homage to Evil Dead. It's a ripoff of Evil Dead.
Yeah. Sense of it. Yeah, I mean... You got, like, the necklaces. You got the very similar stop motion shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There was some cool... Like, when the necklace... there's a point where the necklace went in the eye.
Yeah, that was pretty dope.
That was kind of cool.
All the stop motion's really cool. Yeah. I mean, the fact he was a one-man show for the whole thing. Like, he... wanted to not only cut costs, but just want to be in complete control. He's a visionary director.
I mean, it's very clear. It's very clear this director has a vision, right? Yeah. Like, what I feel like what he wanted to execute is there on celluloid.
Yeah.
But, man, it's just, again, I get with it, man. Get me... Get me to the stuff that's crazy. I do not give a fuck about, bro. The psychic getting hit by the clock is one of the fucking craziest things I have ever seen in cinema, fucking ever.
And he just wakes up, and you're like, dude, did they film this like 2 years later? Like, what's going on?
Well, yeah, it's just like the idea that he gets hit in the head with this shitty little clock, and it's like, oh, that's what fucking knocks him out. It's wild, man. Like, the decisions made by the filmmaker and, you know, by our lead actor are crazy.
Yeah. The writer, director, lead actor.
Yeah. I love the energy of it. The last 10 minutes, it's fucking crazy bonkers. I really wish that happened, you know, like 15 minutes into the movie, but it takes a while to build up to that point. And it's just the lack of cast and budget. If this had, you know, I mean, the body count is like two because people die and then resurrect and then die again. So really it's like two people die in this whole movie.
Live, die, repeat, dude.
Exactly.
Japanese horror films.
Mm.
Oh, you like Japanese horror films, dude? Name two.
Well, first off, there's Audition.
That's dope.
Takeshi Miike.
Takeshi Miike, yeah.
Takashi Miike. There's Blind Woman's Curse.
Hmm.
Ever seen this?
No.
A titillating blend of exploitation, gangster movie, and gothic horror. Oh, that sounds good.
We're just going to talk about other movies?
Yeah. There's Cure. I've always heard about Cure.
How about the movie you thought this was? Evil Dead Trap.
Yeah. There's another movie. This is currently on Shudder, along with another Japanese horror movie called Evil. Well, it goes by one of the names it goes by is Evil Dead Trap
from 1988.
From 88. And I saw 10 minutes of that and I was preferring that. But I mean, what the fuck, man? It
you know, for the longest time, I thought, like, oh, doesn't this bloody body muscle builder from hell also go by Evil Dead Trap? And I realized, oh, it's a whole different movie.
Totally different films. And it's interesting, too, because I mean, like, bloody muscle bodybuilder from hell.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
In hell.
In hell. Not from hell. Let's be precise.
From hell.
From hell. Ooh. Underrated film.
Underrated.
I like it.
I do too.
I like it.
Christopher Walken.
It's fucking teeth. Weird too. The Hughes brothers, they're all, yeah, dead presidents. That's right. That's right. And then they're all, you know what? Fuck all that. We're going to make a Victorian period piece about Jack the Ripper with Ichabod no black Crane. People.
Yeah.
It's a fucking trip, dude.
That is a...
Where are the Hughes brothers?
Wait, what am I thinking? What the fuck am I thinking?
You said pointy teeth. That's Sleepy Hollow.
That's Sleepy Hollow. That's fucked. I was thinking From Hell was Sleepy Hollow.
You know, I like From Hell.
I do too.
I haven't seen From Hell, but when I was a kid, I thought From Hell, I always got From Hell mixed up with, I think, Ninth Gate. Is that what it's called?
I like Ninth Gate too.
With Johnny Depp?
Yeah. Like, I got those two mixed up all the time. Never seen either.
They're worse. I like Ninth Gate.
What about The End of Days, dude? Do you like that? Schwarzenegger, that's fucking trash. That shit is crazy. You're trash.
Fucking quiet, hey boy. Come back to me.
Yeah,
that shit is crazy.
I did watch that. See,
we should do that. Yeah. We should do Fallen with Denzel Washington.
Time is on my side. That's
what the fucking Echoes.
Yes, it is.
It's Casey Jones, right?
Stir of Echoes. That's where the autistic girl gets like raped and put in a wall, right?
Whoa, I didn't remember that.
Yeah,
I hope you didn't make that up.
No. Like, yeah. She. Well, I don't know if she actually gets raped, but like,
I hope that's what happened.
That it's yeah. Like, she gets trapped in the house. That's like she gets put in the wall after that.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked. That movie is crazy.
That's right.
So, it's not good.
It's crazy, though.
But it's crazy.
I think that's David Koepp.
That's when the paint it black and shit.
There's a little film from 1954 called Godzilla.
Gojira.
Mm. House.
Houseu. I was really thinking of that this whole time. Because the goofiness...
Love it.
...is really on that level of Houseu. But Houseu does it for majority of that screen time.
Tell me you've seen this. See, we should do that on the fucking show.
That movie's a trip.
That movie's fucking bonkers, dude. And there's a sequel that one of our listeners always wanted. He was like, have you watched the sequel? It's nothing like it. And he kept asking me, and I didn't watch it. Now he fucking thinks...
Now he's dead.
I think he
might as well be.
Yeah.
He called this dude a weird cop and just fucked
not
off.
Not that guy. There's only been one fucking guy who called me a weird cop. And then you made fun of him, but then you embraced it. And now I'm still the weird cop.
I made fun of him.
Because you said he's being the weird cop.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
And now, but you still just call me a weird cop just because I have fucking white dude energy. Which is true.
Well, it's funny because it's like we got offended by it.
Yeah.
And then we're owning it.
That's right. I understand.
Yeah.
Making it my own.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a thing to like to wear though.
Dude, heavy is the mantle, dude. Heavy is the mantle.
Juan the Curse.
Yeah, okay, I'm in.
Okay. Qui-Don from 1965.
Classic.
Is that the one with the mask? The spooky mask?
I think that might be Onibaba, I think.
Ah, Onibaba.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe said that's one of his favorite
movies. Qui-Don is I think it's anthology. It's a bunch of ghost stories. Yeah, it's fucking, it's chilling. Very good aesthetic. Yeah. Gosh. That's a Criterion film.
Norai, The Curse. I've heard of this one.
No, I never seen it.
From 2005. Never seen it. One Cut of the
One
Dead.
One Cut of the Dead is so fucking fun.
I enjoyed that.
That shit's dope.
Fucking love One Cut of the Dead.
That was super inventive. I remember Matt was not a fan, which was strange.
That movie got better and better as it went on. I agree,
and it got super fucking layered too. Because then I forget the third act, but then aren't they like filming
shit actually pops off?
Yeah.
And
then here's Onibaba, A Page of Madness from 1926, Perfect Blue. Fantastic. Fucking Satoshi Kon. Mm-hmm. God rest his soul or something. And we did a Patreon episode for that.
Mm-hmm.
These days we would just do an episode proper for that, but back then that was a Patreon episode. That was one of my favorite discussions I've ever had on this show, actually. And that was my first time seeing the movie at that time.
Dude, I gotta watch One Cut of the Dead again. That shit was awesome.
Yeah.
They have a shitty remake too.
They did a shitty remake already.
What? It's like a French film or German or something. European.
They beat America to it.
This time. It was really weird.
That's pretty good.
It's very rare that happens. Well, the same thing happened with Cube, that like the Japanese remake was actual trash.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. Somehow worse than the original film.
And that's weird. Yeah, because Japanese things are better than the other things.
In usually. General, yeah. Yes, yeah. Most things. Yeah. Japan is a cooler country.
Yeah. I mean,
except it's, you know, except, it's dying.
Except the patriarchy, dude.
Well, yes. Yeah. And it's literally dying of old age.
Well, you like hentai, dude? Whoa.
Okay. I'm not saying I don't like
you can hentai. Like, you can't like pedophilia, like, but you can like hentai because of the cultural aspect. Is that it?
Well, not all hentai is is, you know,
a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not exactly, a square. Dude. I see what you're saying. I see. I get. Okay. And then, see, this is good. The conversation has branched out. It's moved beyond the parameters.
It's spiraled out.
Dude. Yes. Yeah. Of muscle bodybuilder or whatever. Ringu, which is the ring. Mm-hmm. Gore Verbinski did his. That was a relatively solid adaptation.
Yeah.
Right? Naomi Watts, right?
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Tetsuo, the motherfucking Iron Man. Big fan.
Dope as shit.
Big fan. We did a
That was the last
episode with Matt.
Yeah. Well, not the last, but
close.
Yeah.
Akira and Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad I was there. There is a Japanese film. There was one point in the show during the pandemic where we were talking about doing Japanese month. And for that reason, I had kept reading about this movie, Pulse. I think it's from 2006, a Japanese film.
Mm-hmm.
Highly fucking recommend it. We didn't end up doing it the Japanese month like we planned on the show, but it's a great fucking movie. And it's also really like ahead of its time as far as a pandemic movie, because it's about people isolated. And they're living online chronically, but it was made very early on.
Yeah, you enjoyed it a lot. I wasn't.
Oh, you didn't dig that shit.
I really didn't, man. I was posting videos on Instagram making fun of some scenes and shit. But yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea. But I also probably didn't understand like all the thematic shit that it was trying to go for. Which, yeah, you're right. It was a little bit ahead of its time with the technology aspect.
Jacob, we probably didn't even know you at this point. You probably didn't even listen to the show. But what do you think about the movie The Forest?
Is this about the suicide
force? Yeah, but it's
Matthew McConaughey?
It's fucking, what's her name? Natalie Dormer.
Oh, that one with the chicks? Yeah, no, I didn't watch that.
Dude, you've got to watch it. It's horrible, awful trash.
That's like the suicide, very insensitive fucking bullshit, yeah.
Well, it was shortly after or before the Logan Paul Suicide Forest stuff, and it was like, what the fuck are you doing?
And then Matthew McConaughey came out with like a really touching drama about it too.
What?
Yeah, with the, what's his name, Ken Watanabe and Matthew McConaughey in the Suicide Forest. They find each other, they're both gonna commit suicide, and they come together.
Are you making shit up?
That is a real drama.
Is this a fucking AI thing you read?
It's ChatGPT.
Yeah.
look it up.
See, ChatGPT replaced the Hard-On Collider.
That's why I thought you were talking about it first, but I remember it. See,
fuck, dude?
I thought the one you're talking about was like some Blumhouse type of trash.
It was a shitty ass shit movie.
See, the thing is, ChatGPT is inadvertently a quantum computer because its ideas are actually drawn from other fucking parallel universes, bro. Oh,
fuck, this predates that shit by a long time. 2015, directed by Gus Van Sant? Holy shit. What the fuck?
I barely remember it, but I watched it.
It's got Naomi Watts in it, dude. What the hell?
When did this come out?
2015.
What the fuck was going on?
See you. A24?
Yeah, dude. Oh,
so this is a misfire. It's got a pedigree because there's no way. There's no way. Let me see this.
How did I miss this?
6.1.
Sea of...
I remember seeing the trailer. I was like super touched by it. And I think I just like watched it at home.
Super touched. Oh, here we go. Check this out. You ready? 23 median average on Metacritic out of 100. So this is the rare A24.
I don't remember the movie, so that says something.
Imagine a fucking hardcore drama with this premise and this cast that has a 23 out of 100.
Yeah, two dudes.
It's got 17% Rotten Tomatoes. IMDb, though, however, sitting at a 6.1, so it has its champions.
Yeah.
But, dude, you fucking got me going now.
How does a movie get
a fucking 23
out of 100? It's worse than the Blumhouse one, right?
let me guess. Matthew McConaughey, Naomi Watts, they lose a child. That's the only way that he...
I think that's actually what it
is. Of course.
Yeah.
Because any married couple that loses a child, they're...
Listen to this shit. This is a zero score from the playlist, right? In 2015. From the cloying ever-present score to the complete lack of narrative momentum, it all adds up to a film that's easily Gus Van Sant's worst and is a sad black mark on McConaughey's mostly excellent recent run. Ultimately, Sea of Trees feels like an entirely appropriate title. It makes you feel like you're drowning and it's full of sap.
Yeah, this was like post
damn, dude.
Dallas Buyers Club, dude. Fuck. This was like his follow-up
after Interstellar and fucking True Detective and Dallas Buyers Club and fucking Lincoln Lawyer.
Milk.
He was, yeah.
And then he did this. And the trailer was like, whoa, this is A24, bro. And then you watch it and I don't even remember the movie. Yeah.
What the hell, dude?
You got me, man.
I'm kind of in, man. I kind of want to watch it. Oh, no. Naomi Watts gets brain cancer. That's why he kills himself. Or at least attempts to.
Yeah, she might have already been dead in
There's
the story.
There's an MRI scene, which is, you know, always good filmmaking.
Hmm.
On paper, it feels like a can't miss. Movies don't exist on paper, though, and this one's a mess.
Jeez. Jesus Christ, man. That's bad. That's
fucking brutal, dude. Thank you for bringing that to our... I'm glad that came up. That Suicide Forest, though, is a little... That's a trippy thing. Do you think that's a... What do you think? It's a case of psychology because people have heard about it, it's attracted certain people with depressive states?
Japan as a country is aging. Like the old people are getting old and dying off, and young people in Japan aren't getting married and having children. So it's a dying country.
Yeah, because the culture is you take care of your elders and stuff, but then now you have these people that don't have anybody to take care of them, right?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, right? So like you have this like cultural guilt that's associated because like it's a very like cultural also.
It was about honor and duty.
So, you know, like I think it's a very tragic thing.
Kind of expression of what's happening there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got you. Like it's kind of a. At some point, even if you want to be like very skeptical of any supernatural thing, because what you're left with is the psychology of it.
Yep.
Which is still very, it gets very abstract at a certain point. But I think what you're saying makes sense. Like it's these things kind of happen when you have like a huge issue like that that's driving it, right? You have this kind of cultural death.
Well, yeah, because death. For a country that's so hyper-focused on productivity and business and everything, like, relationships are, you know, just not done anymore, right? And so you've got this culture of people that are, like, suffering mentally on a fucking hourly basis.
Yeah.
And if it's like, an
identity crisis.
Yeah, too. You know, if they can be together with people that, you know, feel the same way, then it's going to be a suicide forest, I guess. That's fucked.
That's poetic, bro.
It is.
I like that.
I like. Well,
you want to go?
No, not really.
I'm actually.
Well, I want to go to Japan.
I do, and I am curious about that place because also, you know, I like entertaining, not entertaining. I like hearing the other stuff. Like, there's electromagnetic fucking weird stuff that's making people attracting certain frequencies to it. All that kind of stuff, you know. There's all sorts of theories, you know, like there always are when you get some kind of phenomena like that, you know. And I'm the kind of guy, too, where I'm the kind of guy where it's not one or the other. It might be a mixture of things, you know. But I would be curious. I haven't done, like, a deep enough dive on the suicide forest to know when it started occurring, how long it's been, like, at the proportions it is, and also, like, again, I would be really curious to see once it became like publicized, what was the uptick? Like, what was it like once it became broadly known about? How fucking much did that increase in the year after that? Because that'll really tell the fucking that'll really tell the tale, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, I do remember seeing a few things on it before, and it was pretty fucking uncanny though, the sheer amount of people.
Yeah.
They have gone there for that specific reason.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, wait, you know what? It makes me think about too.
Holy shit. Go ahead. Sorry.
Is ideas about suicide, because they're different culturally. Suicide's looked at very differently in different cultures and time periods. And this is coming from, like, I mean, you got the kamikaze thing, and you've got the, what's the samurai thing? And it's like, yeah,
seppuku.
Can you tell us?
Yeah. I knew he knew.
Yeah. Harakiri.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say Harikuri or
Harikari.
Something. Yeah. You know, 13 assassins, dude.
Oh!
Only thing wrong with that movie is the
flaming CGI bulls.
Yeah. CGI fire. Dude. Only fucking thing. Otherwise, that's like a perfect fucking
Last
movie.
Last Samurai, dude.
Oh. That's basically mistake. Dune in Japan.
White Saber?
Lisan al Gaib.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Wait, no.
Tom Cruise. Holy shit, man. You're right. It is.
Dude, there's been so much Last Samurai talk in my cubicle area. It's one of my coworkers. Oh my
gosh. Shogun?
It's too much. I'm two episodes behind, but that shit's dope. Yeah.
You asked something. So the different cultural attitudes towards that, but it kind of like poetically makes sense again, because if the fucking culture is dying and going through this identity crisis, being deconstructed, it's losing its fucking honor. And they already had these kind of like ideas that suicide wasn't like a cowardly thing to do. It was actually
very honorable.
It was an honorable thing to do if you can't live up to your fucking code. The suicide forest, it's like where the culture goes.
Dude, trip out, dude. In 2003, 105 bodies were found in the forest.
That's a lot.
Exceeding the previous record in 2002 of 78. 2010, people recorded 54 confirmed suicides. Suicides are said to increase during March. Oh, fuck. We're in the Ides of March, dude.
Is it coincidence? I think not. Why are they said to increase in March?
It's the end of the fiscal year.
You know, correlation doesn't imply causality, but that's a pretty fucking strong correlation.
Well, and
people don't like that fiscal shit.
If you're at all like into like Japanese culture, like myself, I'm a bit of a weeaboo. if you know like anything about like the hikikomori, they're like these Japanese adolescent males that like basically self isolate. It's kind of like kind of. Like incels, but the Japanese version of it, dude. It's a culture that like is like oppressively like you either have to be successful or you're fucked,
right? And it had very strong. By conservative, I don't mean like evangelical fucking American conservatives, but it was conservative for. Very conservative.
Yeah, still is.
It still is. It's trying to maintain and conserve the ancient and older traditions, and it's fucking dying. Especially because the internet. They got too many of these homies on the internet, and they said, fuck the traditions. I'm going to jack off all day with my blue wig on. You know what I mean? That's what they did.
That's what I would do.
That's right.
The guy's like, you are a disgrace.
Fuck the forest. I'm going to jack off till I die.
For all the chicks. Back in Shanghai.
That's
for Donovan. That's Donovan. Donovan's been saying that shit since high school, and it's fucking inspired. I have to say, he's a listener of ours, an old time, long time friend. I think he's supposed to be coming into town in April. Hopefully. So
what we're saying is,
look, bloody muscle bodybuilder from hell.
In hell.
It's 63 minutes. I understand. I do understand the appeal to a certain type of horror fan. Because this is kind of like this entire experience on the show since 2018 is me getting familiar with people who just love the entire genre and all the little nooks and crannies of it. And it's I get that to a certain type of viewer, the low budgetness is part of its appeal and its charm. And it's like doing it's doing so much. Or it's trying so much with such a little know-how and little budget, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not something for me to be mad at. But even at 63 minutes, it's very taxing for me.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a chore. Yeah.
The most interesting thing about it to me was how fucked up the filming was. Like, just how fucked up it was. It is grimy.
It's grimy. It's inconsistent. It's fun in that sense because it's like, holy shit, you could tell where this was filmed like 5 years later or some shit. Like, just the editing, it's fucking crazy. I'm sure he lost track of the story during this entire time.
Yeah, 'cause you know what story, bro?
Exactly.
You know when they, like, who, I'm thinking of the guy who did Sinister.
Yeah.
Oh, your mom.
Fucking Doctor Strange guy.
Your mom? The fuck? Yes, she did Mr. Sinister. What? No, but, what's his name?
I just said the fucking Doctor Strange guy.
Doctor Strange guy, yes. Yeah.
What the fuck is his name?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But, like, you know when they try to age a film and make it look retro and make it look like this is not that. This is literally, like, you could not make it look like this.
Yeah.
Like, this is the real version. So that's interesting in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, dude, like, even the lighting, there is no set lighting in the movie. The lighting comes from the camera.
Yeah.
Like, there's, and then the lights in the room, like, it's naturally lit, dude. That's like fucking Alejandro, Barry Lyndon. It's Alejandro Iñárritu, dude.
It's Barry Lyndon, dude. It's fucking
wow. Don't you be doing that, dude.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I like the use of its natural lighting, dude.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
Dude, yeah, yes, dude. Yes, that's fucking... Yes. Yeah. That's good.
No, there was times where I'm like, yeah, he didn't actually have a cinematographer. He just put the camera on a tripod. But then again, it's like Super 8, so I think you got to have somebody to crank it or something. But I was like, dude, like, I felt like the shit was on a tripod, and he's the actor and director, so he had to act, and then... You know, it's on a film reel, so he had to check the dailies or whatever. I don't even know if he had the ability to do that. And then saw, like, oh, this turned out like shit. I got to refilm it, and then let's do it, like, 2 years later, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'm glad it exists now that we've had this talk.
I think Shudder gave it a lot of life.
Scott Derrickson.
So basically start the movie, skip to minute about 30.
Yep.
And then enjoy.
I'm kind of with that. I'm with that shit. No, because seriously, if, like you said, if your movie's only 63 minutes anyway, like, don't fuck around with your setup, because you don't have much. There's not much setup.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
It's not Billy. I mean, seriously, and it's not to talk shit about. Like, it's cool. They made a movie. They did it right. you went and made the film. That's good.
Good job.
But like, when you're building suspense with no suspense, like that thing, you know what I mean?
It's fucked.
That's fucked up. Yeah.
I also feel like technology kind of cucked him from the time it was made. Like, yeah. I think with the shit today, he could have filmed, not that I would want a 2-hour version of it, but he could do it on a fucking phone, you know what I mean? And edit this shit on TikTok. Like, he would, the struggle of it being in the 90s and not having the, but he wanted to film it on, I think, 16 millimeter, but he was stuck with 8. And because of, you know, the price of film stock. And, yeah, it was just all the odds were against him. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so some of you, I'm sure, listening have seen it, and some of you might probably love it. And if you haven't, it's on Shudder.
Yeah.
If you're curious. Along with the other one, the freaking Evil Dead Trap.
Yeah, watch that.
Watch that, too.
All right, idiots. That's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 412. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is... Bye, Sophia. Hey, we don't know what we're doing next week. But we're going to figure it out.
No, we're doing the thing.
We're going to do the Omen?
Yeah. Oh, no, the other one, right? No?
Arcadians next week.
It's limited this week, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Omen, then Arcadian.
Yeah.
Okay, I can dig it.
That sounds good.
Bye.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.